for the relationship that you have given to us. Nothing and no one can replace that. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We love you, praise you, adore you. And we give you this time. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Damien and I got to get away for a couple of weeks, and the Lord blessed our time every step of the way. We've done a lot of traveling over the years, and typically there's something that there's some holdup, there's some glitch, there's some sort of something that tries your patience or whatever it might be, and this was unbelievably a miracle and blessed by the Lord every step of the way. There was just not one glitch. We knew it was him. We praised him every step of the way. You know, your mouths are dropped and it's just like, wow, I don't know why, but thank you, Lord. You're so good. So if you prayed for us, you were part of that. So thank you very much. I missed being here. I listened to Julie's study. It was very, very good. And we are continuing on tonight. One quick announcement, though, before we get on into our message, and that is, if you are available after second service and want to serve, they are needing help cleaning the ladies' room. Because what's happening is the men can't go in there to start cleaning, of course, until all the women leave, and then that's kind of putting them really late. So if you are around after you fellowship, if you want to volunteer for that, you can see one of the pastors on Sunday and let them know. They would sure appreciate that. It would make everything go quicker. We are continuing in our series this year with these verses that are so rich and so dear to us, so familiar, but you know, every year we grow deeper in the Lord, and every day we're growing deeper, and so the scriptures come to life in a new way, in a fresh way, and in a rich way in our lives. And so last summer, when I was asking the Lord, what do you want us to do in the fall and for this year, and he put this on my heart, and he led me to a handful of verses, many we've looked at already. And then, you know, about a month ago when I was kind of thinking ahead and planning for this, he put something else on my heart. I mean, it's another verse. He just didn't give it to me last summer. So it just had been ministering to me, and I've been meditating on it. And so we will find ourselves in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 tonight. There is a song that was written by the Gaithers back in 1970 that I first heard in, I think it was 1981. Many of you know it, maybe all of you know it. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. And I remember hearing that song, and something happened in my heart just to hear the name of Jesus. And to say, yeah, there is something about that name. My heart and my soul and my spirit soars at the name of Jesus. His name is soothing to me. His name is comforting to me. It's healing to me. I breathe in the name of Jesus, and I exhale his peace. His name quiets my heart, calms my heart. When I'm sad, I say the name of Jesus. When I'm scared, I say the name of Jesus. In fact, when my girls were little and I was teaching them to safety and stranger danger and all those things and what would happen if they, you know, some bad guy grabbed them or whatever, and I told them to scream and just say Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus out loud. I'll scare the guy off, you know, but Jesus will come and help you. When I'm worried, I say the name of Jesus. And when I close my eyes at night, I say the name of Jesus. And when I have no idea what to say or I am completely perplexed, I say the name of Jesus. When I hear the name of Jesus spoken vainly or in cursing, it stings. It hurts. And I'm sure it does you too. I love to sing the name of Jesus and very thankful for those songs tonight that we got to sing the name of Jesus. I like the songs that say his name, that declare his name. One of the first worship songs with his name that I remember was back when Maranatha music was really big. Jesus, what a wonder you are. How many of you remember that one? And then, of course, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. And Jesus, you're the sweetest name of all. Jesus, you always hear me when I call. You pick me up each time I fall. You're the sweetest name of all. And then a little later in my Christian walk, Jesus, your name is like honey to my lips. You remember that one we used to sing all the time? And a more recent one, and we don't do it that often, but it's Jesus, be glorified in the earth. Jesus, your name be glorified. When that hits, my hand goes up. I just like an automatic, Jesus, be glorified. I glorify you. And then recently, there's a couple that are out. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And then Lincoln Brewster's, there is power in the name of Jesus, power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I love those verses. Now, by nature, I am a concrete, pretty literal person. It's just the way my mind first sees things when I hear them, see them. That's how I process information, is what it is, just kind of literal, concrete. To a fault, to an extreme at times, I've gotten better. But just one example of how concrete I can be and just literal, and that is, you know, the gas station Shell. You know the logo, Shell, okay? Well, all my life, it was the Shell station. Shell. The name Shell. Until somebody said something about the logo, that it was a shell. I said, you mean that yellow thing is a shell? Shell? Oh, you mean like, oh, Shell. That's bad. Sometimes I'm so concrete, I get stuck in that cement. There's many things like that. They're still happening today. I mean, the light still goes on today. Somebody will say something, I'm like, I never knew that. So, but one of the good things is that what I say, that's exactly what I mean. There is no hidden anything in there because it's not there to hide. It's what it is. So I remember the first time that I heard Gail Irwin, he's a friend and a friend of our fellowships, teach the Jesus style. And thankfully, it was way back when I was a brand new Christian. And I heard him teach this. And he was teaching on the Jesus style. He's teaching on the name of Jesus and the name of God. And he said that there's more to God's name, Jesus' name, than just a name. His name reveals his nature. A concrete, literal person was very thankful to hear that. Oh, his name means something. Now, we know in the Bible when they would name their children, Esau was, you know, red and hairy. He's red and hairy, his name's going to be Esau, you know. We don't do that. I have no idea what my name means. And I doubt that my name, whatever it means, reveals my nature or my character. But God's name reveals who he is. And it reveals his heart and his character. And because he is so big, he has many names, many titles. Because how can it all be contained in one? But with the name of Jesus, maybe the most important meaning of the name of Jesus is its literal meaning. And Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. Jehovah saves. Jesus saves. Jesus is salvation. The angel came to Joseph, when Mary was found with child by the Holy Spirit, and he came to Joseph at night, you know, in that dream to let him know it's okay, she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, as I said, there are hundreds of names and titles of God and Jesus throughout the Bible. And it would take a whole year or more in Bible study to go through all of them. So obviously we're not doing that tonight. But each one of those names reveals two things. And I love that. There's two sides to it. Who he is, his name, who he is, what it says about him, but also what he wants to do for us. I love that. So some of the names that maybe we're familiar with over the years of walking with the Lord and doing Bible study and things, in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh is one of his names. Jehovah means God. And this was used when Abraham was offering his son Isaac on the altar, and he said, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. So God is a provider, but God provides for us. Jehovah Rophe, God the healer, in Exodus 15. Where the Lord said, I am the Lord who heals you. So he's God the healer, and he heals us. Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner, his banner over me. Where that was in Judges 6:24, where he was speaking to, that's not Judges, it's Exodus 17, where Moses was holding the rod of God up while Joshua was fighting the Amalekites and got tired, and Aaron and Hur came and lifted his hands up, and he said, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi, my banner. And then in Judges 6:24, Jehovah Shalom, God is our peace. He is peace, and he is our peace. In Jeremiah 23:6, Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our righteousness. He is righteous, but He is our righteousness. Speaking of Messiah, that Messiah will come. Jehovah Rohi, which is Psalm 23:1, God, our shepherd. And then Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, God is there. God is present. So he's present everywhere, but he's also present in our lives. So all these names, they're who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. A lot of times when I'm on my walks and I'm praying, especially the times where I'm interceding and doing battle in prayer, I will call out the names of God, all of them that can come to my mind. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Shammah. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are Jehovah Shalom. And just, it builds my faith and it proclaims his power and his greatness, which then builds my faith. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote of him, Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So I just want to talk about his name. I want us to meditate on his name, on each way he reveals himself to us through his name, so that we can find the depth and the richness of all it holds, who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. And so if the name of Jesus isn't precious to you, that it would be tonight. And if it is precious to you, that it would be even more precious to you when you leave. And I don't know how to communicate this, but I know that the Holy Spirit will in your own heart. Isaiah said that his name would be called Wonderful. Full of wonder. That's who Jesus is. He is full of wonder. There is amazement when you think about him and you think about his wonderful name. It is amazing. There is surprise. There is mystery. We don't understand. We can never fully understand. There's awe. It's wonderful. It causes me to wonder. It causes me to stand in awe, in worship, when I think of his wonderful name. Admiration, adoration. His wonder. If you just take that one word, wonderful, that one part of his name, wonderful, and you meditate on that and go for a walk with that, his wonder penetrates our hearts, our lives. The psalmist said in Psalm 8, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you would visit him?" God, when I look to the heavens, when I was driving here earlier and looking at the blue sky and the big, puffy, white clouds, I'm in awe. I'm in wonder, not of creation. I'm not worshiping creation. We're worshiping the Creator. He is wonderful. Two of my favorite books are by Bill McDonald. One is called The Wonders of God, and it is little snippets of how wonderful he is. Scientific things, things of his creation, what he's created in the heavens and on the earth, how the awe and the wonder of a human body. It's a fascinating book. You can read it devotionally, where you can just read small sections every day. It causes you to worship. And then he finished that book, and there, of course, there's just lots more, so he wrote another one, Our God is Wonderful. So the wonders of God and our God is wonderful. There's wonder. There's wonderful and wonders in his creation and in his creativity. You just say, how could you think of that? But you did. Of course you thought about it because you're God. Jesus, you are wonderful in what you have created and how you have created. And Jesus, your ways are wonderful. They cause me to wonder. I don't get it most of the time, but I know him, and I know they're good. They're good ways. What about the wonderful cross? The wonders of his cross. That leaves you speechless. And all that holds and represents and has done for us, the wonders of Jesus' death on the cross, what he endured for us. That's too wonderful. You can't comprehend that. The wonder of his blood, the blood that was shed, the blood that takes my filthy sin and washes it clean, white as snow. It's too wonderful for me. Wonders of his salvation. Wonders that Christ in us. This is just one part of his name, wonderful. And the wonders of his great love. Why does he love the way he loves? How does he do that? Why create what he has created, knowing the fall of man, knowing the darkness and the wickedness of sin? And he loves, and he's not willing that any would perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance and to salvation because of his great love. Jesus is wonderful, and he makes everything wonderful. In our lives, there are wonderful things, and he is doing wonderful things in our lives because he is wonderful. And it will take us a lifetime and then into eternity, for eternity, to discover all of his wonders and how wonderful he is. And that's just one part of who he is. One name that he has is wonderful. His counselor, he is the one who has all knowledge and all wisdom. He knows every single thing there is to know, and then more. And he knows the right way to do it all, the wise way. Romans 11, my favorite, very favorite passage, 33 on. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He's so smart. He's so great. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Nobody. Nobody. How can little tiny man and our little brains that we're only using a small portion of, how can we comprehend? How can we know? He's the great counselor. Jesus is the one who takes care of all decisions of life because he is the great counselor. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Man doesn't know what he's doing. We don't know what we're doing. Now, I used to think I knew what I was doing, and I used to think that I was a lot smarter than I was. You know, that starts when you're a teenager. You become smarter than your parents. And then you need to grow out of it, but a lot of people don't. And you just think, you need to tell me. I already know. Well, let me tell you. And the longer you walk with the Lord, and I've said this a million times, but there's that little song we used to sing, "The more that I know, the more I know that I don't know." And now I don't know anything. And I tell the Lord that all the time. I don't know. I don't know. I would, 5 years ago, I would figure that one out. I would get it wrong, I'm sure, but I could figure it out. I don't know. I can't even begin to figure it out. I have no clue. No clue. I don't know. This is why I need a counselor. I need a wonderful counselor. I need him. And he's there, free of charge. He said in Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you will teach me. You will guide me because you're a counselor. You are a wonderful counselor. There was a time where a lot of the disciples left Jesus. They no longer wanted to walk with him because what he was saying was too hard. And Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, "Will you go too?" And Peter looked at him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else. Where else are you going to go? Where are you going to go in this world to get counsel? His counsel is in this book. His counsel is there for us, and all we need to do is ask. James tells us, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach." Ask. I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do. Lord, would you show me? You have all knowledge. You have all wisdom. Counsel me. Show me the way I'm supposed to go. And it is wonderful that we can go to Jesus any time we need and ask counsel, and he gives us wise counsel. Even a good professional counselor, and there are plenty of very good professional counselors that God has raised up and given wisdom to help people with their problems, help them see it, walk them step by step through it. But even those cannot fully understand our problems and our needs. They're not us. They're not in us. They don't feel the way we do. They don't have the same past. They can't, but Jesus can. He was tempted in all points. He went through it all. He knows our thoughts. He knows. He feels what we feel. He sees what we see. He knows. He knows. He understands. Professional counselors also cannot, and they need to be careful to not get involved emotionally with their clients. I mean, can you imagine? Nobody has the capacity to get emotionally involved and invested with everyone they're talking about and hearing their problems and trying to help them through. They can't. They won't make it. But Jesus can, and he does. He's compassionate. He understands. He's with us, walking us through because he is the great counselor. He counsels us from a heart of knowledge and of understanding and of wisdom and compassion through His Word. His Word is full of truth. Psalm 119:24 says, "Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Every single day, I get counseled. I go to my therapy. I get counseled from the Word of God. Every single day, I sit and I read my through the Bible and my devotional time, and I have my time with the Lord. And then I ask Him, help me, counsel me, give me your truth about what my thoughts are saying or how I'm feeling. Show me how I am supposed to feel. How do I process this? What do I do with this? And He walks me through because He is the great counselor. He's the mighty God. John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus, mighty God, and He's mighty in power. The name of Jesus is a powerful name. The demons tremble at His name. Excuse me. It is the only name that holds power. There are people's names in this world that they can hold awe. Oh, that name, oh, that person, or whatever it might be. They may have the authority over someone to, you know, give them something great or hire them or fire them or whatever. They might have that, but there is no name that compares to the great name and the powerful name of Jesus. The demons tremble at His name. It's the only name that is spoken that holds weight. You know, people don't say, you know, they hit their thumb, they don't say, "Oh, Buddha." You know, "Oh, whoever it is." You know, it's like, no, they use the name of Jesus. They don't get it because they use it in vain and in cursing, but it holds power. Jesus, mighty God, used His power to heal, to raise the dead to life. He has the power to forgive sins. And when Jesus was heading to the cross, Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" And Jesus said to him, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." Earlier, in John chapter 10, He told His disciples, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." That's the name of Jesus. Powerful, mighty God. He has the power to lay His life down. You can lay your life down, okay? Suicide, people do that. Nobody has the power to raise their life back up. Jesus does. Mary, when she found out she was with child by the Holy Spirit, she cried out and said, "For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." The mighty God has been mighty, and He is mighty in our lives. His power, mighty God, Jesus, working in us and through us. Ephesians 1, "The exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." He is an everlasting Father. Jesus said of Himself in Revelation 1, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who was and who is and who is to come. The everlasting Father, the originator or author of the everlasting, of eternity. He's the author of the eternal. And he is the author of time. Warren Wiersbe said, not only does Jesus Christ control time, but he conquers time. For the unbeliever, time is an enemy. For the dedicated Christian, time is a friend. Jesus Christ entered into time that he might save us and accomplish God's eternal purposes in our lives. Time became our ally, not our enemy. He's the everlasting Father, the author of eternity, and he has placed eternity in our hearts, and he has given us eternal life. He said in John 10, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Everlasting Father, who gives us everlasting life. And he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus gave us peace with God. And then he gives us his peace. And his peace, and we talked about this at one time in the earlier part of our year, about his peace. It is priceless. It is precious. And the Prince of Peace, his peace, rules in our hearts and in our minds. He's the only one, the Prince of Peace, that can bring peace to our lives. And his peace surpasses understanding. I was just talking with him about this the other day. And it's one of those, it's a mystery. How can this be so difficult and so painful, and yet I have greater peace and joy than ever before? How can that be, Lord? I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. Jesus and Jesus only can and will bring peace to this world one day. You know, the gurus want to bring peace. They think they can bring peace. They think they can unite everybody. It's just not going to happen. Just only the Prince of Peace can bring peace, and that's our Jesus. Jesus is also called the Rock. Isn't he a rock in your life? An anchor, the cornerstone, the morning star, the day spring, Emmanuel, the Lamb of God, Redeemer, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus is all these things and so, so much more. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, the powerful, holy, righteous, saving, matchless name of Jesus. And one day, every single knee is going to bow before him. Every single mouth is going to confess that he, Jesus, is Lord. And we have the incredible privilege and blessing of bowing our knee, joyfully bending our knee and calling him Lord. Jesus, Jesus, the sweetest, the most wonderful, the most precious, the most priceless name. His name makes my heart soar. Just takes me away, and I know it does with you too. I want to close by reading Spurgeon's thoughts on this. When a person is dear, everything connected with him becomes dear for his sake. Thus, so precious is a person of the Lord Jesus in the estimation of all true believers that everything about him they consider to be inestimable beyond all price. It is certain that there is not a spot where his hallowed foot has trod, there is not a word that his blessed lips have uttered, nor a thought that his loving word has revealed that is not precious to us beyond all price. And this is true of the names of Christ. They are all sweet in the believer's ear, whether he is called the husband of the church, her bridegroom, her friend, whether he is referred to as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the king, the prophet, or the priest. Every title of our master, Shiloh, Emmanuel, Wonderful, the Mighty, Counselor, every name is like the honeycomb dropping with honey, and luscious are the drops that distill from it. But if there is one name sweeter than another's in a believer's ear, it is the name of Jesus. Jesus. It is the name that moves the harps of heaven to melody. Jesus. The life of all of our joys. If there is one name more charming, more precious than another, it is this name. It is the melody of our psalms. Many of our hymns begin with it, and scarcely any that are good for anything end with it. It is the sum total of all delights. It is the music with which the bells of heaven ring, a song in a word, an ocean for comprehension, a matchless oratory in two syllables, a gathering up of the hallelujahs of eternity in five letters. Jesus, I love thy charming name. 'Tis music to my ear. Oh, Father, we love the name of Jesus. You have given him the name that is above every name. Father, thank you for the privilege, the blessed privilege of being able to bow before you and to say that Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the relationship that you have given us. Thank you that when we call on your name, you hear us, you answer us. Thank you that there is power in your name because of who you are. Father, would you take these truths, plant them deep within our hearts. Help us, Lord, to chew on these, to meditate, to take a walk with you, to have your name be on our lips when we fall asleep and be on our lips when we wake up tomorrow morning, and all day and every day, that we would sing and praise and worship the sweet name of Jesus. Thank you for being Jehovah Shammah. You are there. You are present with us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Thank you for your banner over us. Thank you that you are our provider, our healer, our shepherd, our righteousness. Thank you for being wonderful, and will you let that wonder penetrate our hearts? Father, help us to see you, your son, Jesus. Clearer, closer, and may that name be priceless and precious to us every single day. We worship you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.